funny to look at how busy the library is, and every year I've enjoyed one of those.
Well, I'm amazed that Parramatta have taken him back. For Jared, I think it's just a miracle.
It's kind of like, you know, in The Lion King, when Simba comes back, and that's great for everyone. But in this case, it's more like Scar coming back.
Yeah,
it's like
right.
a fucked up Hamlet. Cameron Smith should be made to wear, I don't know, a really heavy headgear just to bring him back to the field.
I've always advocated for a drug league where you could actually take whatever drugs you felt would help you to play better.
Isn't there a danger here, guys, that, you know, they could be the Blues playing quite well high and then they're defending their red zone and suddenly James Roberts is ordering a hot dog and Deliveroo?
Hello and welcome to the latest episode of The Voluntary Tackle, the only NRL podcast prepared to award Billy Slater the man of the tournament at Wimbledon. Today on the show, we'll be discussing all of the fallout from Origin 3, why Blake Ferguson is questing after the wooden spoon, and what DCE will demand from the state of Queensland now that he has finally played well in a rep match. But first, I'm joined in the studio by the only man who voted to leave the 12-boy soccer team trapped in a Thai cave to fend for themselves. Of course, that cold-hearted motherfucker I refer to is Chip Jones.
Oh, thank you very much. I do appreciate that warm introduction. Look... the only way we're going to survive underground is to, you know, really put some people under pressure, like thrive or die.
Right. So in your way, it's sort of underground Darwinism.
We don't need sunlight.
Yeah, I suppose not. Well, and I think we do actually to survive. Yeah. I think otherwise you turn into sort of an albino-esque player, a bit like Gareth Ellis.
Yeah, we don't need any more of them.
No, nor would the NRL want one. So that could be bad. So genuinely, you think that they would it would be good for their own health?
Look,
these
sink
poor
or swim,
little boys.
You know,
well, a lot of them did sink when they tried to swim. That was the issue, I think.
Right.
But look, we're also joined by Xander Risotto. He's actually at the international between the Nicaragua drug mules and the Icelandic sardine sodomizers. What's the update in that game, Xander?
Incredible scenes here in the with the sodomizers. The game has just finished with the sodomizers on top. Strangely, though, they've awarded the man of the match to Billy Slater.
Wow, so the Billy Slater fiasco is really permeating all levels of rugby league here, Chip.
I thought they'd stop at man of the match. I knew, they were always going to give him man of the match. He could have, you know, played 10 minutes, it's going to get man of the match. Man of the series? That was. I didn't see that coming.
Some conspiracy theories floating around, Chip, from a lot of New South Wales supporters. Of course, Billy Slater not only been awarded man of the match, but the man of the series for State of Origin. And today on the show, we're discussing whether or not it was correct of the selectors to award that to Billy before the series even began. We find that a bit predictive, potentially a little bit arrogant. What are your thoughts on that, Chip?
One of the issues when you do award the player the award before the game starts, you're taking a bit of a gamble.
Mm.
I know that Laurie Daly wasn't really happy to do that, but being that he
was outnumbered,
was sacrificed to the Queenslanders after his drastic failure as a coach.
Was that like in one of those religious ceremonies where they tried to burn him?
I don't know if they tried to burn him. It's more figurative. They've just tried to say, look, Laurie, we're going to go with Billy Slater for Man of the Series.
Mm.
And we outnumber you, so we don't really give a fuck what you say.
Chip, this is quite mind-blowing.
Look, I'm concerned here that by the end of the week, we might see Billy awarded the 2007 and 2009 premierships retroactively.
You think they might give them back to
him? I think
him?
They might give them back.
Well, I mean, he's scooped all the other accolades, hasn't he?
Well, he's got man of the match in a game he clearly wasn't the best. I mean, he wasn't even the best Queenslander. Cherry Evans played
far
a lot better.
Well, I think there's a silver lining to that, Chip, because at the very least, they managed to rain on Cherry Evans's parade, which isn't a bad thing. If you can try to steal as many accolades from Cherry Evans as possible, then you've done something good. Now that Billy has been awarded the Man of the Series disingenuously, we're wondering, I guess, whether or not it's possible for us to... I go back and change some more history when it comes to Billy.
Yep.
Potentially, we can do some editing to his Wikipedia page.
You know, we might be able to award Billy some extra children.
Okay,
maybe.
Yep. How many has he got now?
I'm not sure.
Okay, but he'll have
matters.
More of them.
It doesn't really matter how many he's got.
Where would those children be sourced from? Potentially that Thai cave.
Well, we could leave the kids there.
Okay.
Let's just leave them alone.
Right.
To start with.
Yep. Where would you get them? Just from Africa? Or?
Oh, look, you know, Angelina Jolie's taken most of those. I think what we could do is actually give him some of the migrant children that are trying to cross into the United States from Mexico.
Oh, that's a beautiful
solution.
You know,
they've been locked up and taken away from their parents.
Yeah.
And
just give them
instead
to Billy.
Of blaming Trump, I think maybe let's blame the parents. Let's actually upgrade the parents and make the parents Billy.
Okay. So every single child that's been separated during that pretty austere immigration policy should be forwarded to Billy Slater.
What? Everyone? I mean, why not? Clearly numbers don't matter.
Maybe let Billy Slater transcend the game of rugby league a little bit and that we could start awarding him accolades, like an Oscar, for example.
Yep.
I thought he was very good in La La Land.
He's very good at pretending.
Yeah, exactly.
That's for sure.
Oh, you know, faking things is his it's his wheelhouse. So potentially we could start giving him an Oscar. We could maybe even get him to solve some international political disputes.
Okay.
I mean, Gaza hasn't been good for a while.
Yep.
Maybe give him a Nobel Peace Prize for solving that in the future.
Let's give him Obama's Peace Prize. So what I'd like to see is, you know, Nobel Peace Prize. On it is written His Honourable Excellency Barack Obama. Etched into the trophy, and we just scratch that out and write Billy Slater over it. It means a lot more than just one with Billy's name on it.
Yeah,
it's a bit
agree.
Like, you know, I personally in Game 3 would have liked to have seen Man of the Match, Damien Cook, Man of the Series, Boyd Cordner, and just over those names scratched out and written Billy Slater in Mal Meninga's handwriting and misspelling a few of the letters in Billy Slater to really make it authentic.
How would Mal have spelt Billy Slater's name? With a Z?
Well, that's a very good question. I mean, who knows what goes on with Mal, really?
I
think he's still struggling to spell Mal.
When Darren Lockyer was quizzed about this on the Footy Show this week, he mentioned that it not only Billy Slater did deserve the Man of the Series award, but that it wasn't even close.
See, that's just, you know, that's really like you're digging a hole and someone shows up with like a fucking, you know, big scooper. What do they call those fucking things that they use to dig up earth movers?
Oh, yeah, I know those things. Yeah. They're usually in the Meccano sets.
Dippy Scoopy Dips. Or
I'm sure they have a name.
I think they're called Scoopy
Dippy
Dips.
Scooper fucking
Dippy
things.
Scoopers, yeah. So you're digging a hole and someone rocks up with a diggy scooper.
Mm.
He goes, mate, do you want a hand? And you go, fucking excellent.
It didn't go down well.
Well, look, I think it's been happening for years. I think this has actually come to the boil because, you know, Queensland have been getting dubious decisions. They've been getting the rubber, the green. They've even been getting bounces of the ball that are just fucking, like, almost ridiculous. But when you tie in some of the refereeing calls, I mean, I think they won the penalties by 400%.
It was an origin that probably saw about 96% of the possession with the Queenslanders. Mm. That obviously makes it pretty tough to win, doesn't it?
Well, it's tough to score with 4%.
It's very difficult.
You know, particularly when a lot of the penalties are going against the attacking team, if that's New South Wales.
New South Wales momentarily touched the ball in the first half, and we scored a try for that 30 seconds that we did have the ball. I think the refs maybe were under the mistaken impression, Chip, that whenever the Blues players touched the ball, it was a penalty.
Well, I think what tended to happen there was that James Maloney getting sent off allowed the Queenslanders to take a breath, in which time we scored two tries.
That's right.
So I think, you know, we've learnt now that if you let Queensland have some bullshit penalties, they relax a little bit and that's your opportunity.
Okay, so in a way you're thinking we could turn this to our advantage, not having the ball ever.
Well, I think we've had to.
Yeah, I mean, we've 10 years of it.
You know, we've had 10 years of no ball.
Had to adapt.
It's a bit of pill when you don't get it.
Can you score without the ball? I guess this opens up a whole new conversation for New South Wales. I mean, I know that they've managed to do it momentarily, but obviously Queensland have dominated. What are the strategies that New South Wales could use
to score without the ball? I think you've got to get Blake Ferguson into the Maroons team to pass some balls. And then you basically just touch the ball to score a try.
So when he has a brain snap and throws the ball in the
end
goal, which we know Blake would do.
He's been known.
Yeah, like he'll just, for some reason, he'll field a bomb, he'll take it cleanly, he'll run up, and then he'll headbutt the ball at the goalposts.
Yeah.
And then he'll go over and try to fornicate with the ball. He does all sorts of weird stuff. You're saying that New South Wales could take advantage during those moments.
Well, what I'm saying is maybe we could import or export Blake Ferguson to Queensland. And
would we package him up in a box or something? Would we let him breathe?
Perhaps.
Okay.
Parts of him.
Yep. So put him, disassemble him, and then, like a piece of IKEA furniture.
Exactly. Yep. You know, rearrange some body parts into
one of those flat packs.
Vaguely resembles a Queenslander.
Yep.
And send him out.
I love it.
See what happens.
And then once they reassemble him, they'll probably go, oh, this is incomplete. Where's his hair? Yeah. And then you'll have to look him up on Wikipedia and they'll go, no, he's meant to be a bald fuck. And then get him to play for the Maroons.
Maybe what we could do is actually flat pack him, but leave out the cancer.
That'd be handy, wouldn't it?
And we'll just sell that as an extra.
He's affectionately referred to as chemo, only on this show. Back after this. Welcome back to the Voluntary Tackle. Today we're asking, why has Blake Ferguson left the Roosters for the Parramatta Eels? Chip, do you have any ideas as to why someone would actively quest after the wooden spoon?
Look, it's a good question, Eamon. I've had a bit of a think about this week. Obviously, Westmead Hospital is a draw card for Fergo, a great cancer unit. Look, I think what this might be is that, you know, Michael Jennings has been in the headlines a bit over the last few weeks.
Yep.
You know, I think when Blake Ferguson picks the paper up, he doesn't read, can't read, and he just sees Michael Jennings in the headlines. Doesn't know why, what's going on. He just thinks, you know, I wish I was in the headlines. Maybe I should go to Parramatta.
So you just think that he wants to go there to be talked about?
I think he's just going for any press is good press.
Yeah, any publicity is good publicity. Well, yeah,
exactly, exactly right. That might be part of it. He'd probably walk into the Parramatta team, I would think. You know, he's not running anywhere.
Yeah, he never runs.
Drop a few balls, he'd probably still get a man of the match from here or there.
Now, Xander Rizzotto, you have a quick update for us. It's the Donald Trump administration taking on Russia in what should be said is a very friendly.
Yeah, thanks for that, Eamon. Incredible scenes down here on the sidelines. It's just been an absolute love-in. One might describe it even as a mass orgy at this point. Seems as if Putin has taken most sides from behind.
Now, Chip, is there a chance here with Blake that by going from the Roosters, who are a top-8 team, and heading to the Parramatta Eels, who are towards the bottom of the ladder, that potentially he's just trying to make life hard for himself.
Maybe he's, trying to do the Ben Hunt and find some way to handle pressure by effectively benching himself from title contention.
Do you think this is sort of a case where, you often have people who go through those midlife crises and they throw in a job and they've got a really high-paying job and they go, you know, I'm going to work at a 7-Eleven for minimum wage.
That's right.
Maybe Blake Ferguson's just at that point in his life, because he does look middle-aged at the very least, doesn't he?
Well, he's past the mid-career point.
Mm. When was his peak? Under nines, I think.
Look, it probably was. I mean, I think the peak of his career was before he fucked up Origin.
Which time? Because he's fucked up Origin a few times.
Probably the first time.
Okay, right.
Probably his first pre-game Origin.
Okay,
was a highlight for him. Being on that bus, coming out, everyone's tapping him on the shoulder, going, mate, you can do this.
Mm.
He never believed it, but that was a highlight.
Yep.
That was it.
Yeah. And then before he knew it, he was getting pissed off his tits with Josh Duggan at a pub somewhere without his teammates. And then denying it to the press.
Yeah, not real smart. But then again, he's not known for his brain cells.
Yeah, his cell count in general, isn't it? With the chemo.
Yeah. He was a bit rocks and diamonds.
But he fucked up a lot, didn't he?
He did fuck up a lot. You know, he would, and he had that way of, you know, when he was going for one of those bombs, attacking bombs on the line, you know, he'd jump high, he'd look good, but he was never really convincing. He was never really going to get there.
No, he's the master of having that look on his face that says, fuck, why am I here?
Yeah.
You know, he's sort of...
Can't believe I'm here.
Yeah, I think I'm playing football. This is insane.
I think he went so far as once to think, football.
If you were going inside his brain.
There's like a football.
That's all he's thinking.
Happening in there.
Which is quite ironic because a lot of the time the ball comes down and hits his brain, doesn't it? Because he doesn't catch it with his hands. Normally the ball hits him in the head. Mitchell Pearce, he's back for the Knights. Haven't they suffered enough?
What I wonder is, would they have won by more if he was still injured?
It's hard to say. All I know is that he is inflicting that team like an anal hemorrhage.
It's tough when you go for a wipe.
Very difficult, painful, and never really gets clean. Mitchell Pearce coming back, it's a bit like kicking an elderly man with a wooden spoon shoved up his ass and stomping on his genitals while laughing and calling his deceased wife an old whore and then stealing his social security number and committing repeated acts of fraud with that man's identity. It feels a bit like that.
Well, you've obviously put a lot of thought into this, and what concerns me is, you know, not so much kicking a man while he's down, although I'm not a fan of that. I tend to prefer to kick people while they're standing. But calling his dead wife an old whore, is he the kind of guy to go through with actually digging her up and acting that out?
With Mitchell Pearce, I couldn't put anything past him. Although what I could definitely doubt he would do is play 80 minutes of footy.
Can't see that happening.
No, that would never happen. But most things I couldn't put past him, especially nefarious things.
Well, I don't think he'd fuck a dead dog.
Well, I mean, look, have we seen all of the footage? How do we know he didn't asphyxiate that dog and then finish the job?
In the first place, yeah. To try and get the dog off properly.
Exactly. Yeah. That could have just been a teaser, like a preview to a good movie.
Do you think Mitchell deserves a recall for the Blues?
No. Now we're going to cross to Xander Rizzotto.
Thank you, Eamon. I'm here at the Knights versus Eels game up in Newcastle. Incredible scenes here on the sideline as the game has just finished. The Newcastle Knights taking the points. Strangely, Mitchell Pearce appears to be quite upset, though. He believes that he was entitled to man of the series at State of Origin based on this performance.
Well, that's classic Mitchell Pearce, isn't it? I don't know if anyone saw this week. He actually wrote an article, which is quite surprising in itself that he could write. But he said it was about the Queenslanders losing their aura. Now, at no point in the article did he mention that the reason they might have lost their winning aura was because he wasn't there. It was more about the fact that the Blues' time had come.
Look, I'm not sure. I think he was on the money there. The Maroons did lose a bit of an aura, even though it was his brown-smelling stain that was removed that clearly helps the maroon colour a bit more than the blue colour.
Yes.
But I will say that, you know, I think one of the masterstrokes that Brad Fittler has engineered this season was get those first two games out of the way and in the bag and do it in such a fashion that Queensland are only going to have one opportunity to cheat. Give them Suncorp. You know they're going to cheat there. They're going to get every call. They're going to get man of the series, man of the match, you know, man of the millennium. Doesn't fucking matter. Australian of the year. Give them what you want. Next series, perhaps Mitchell can write another think piece. About why?
Just a think piece about why he wrote a think piece in the beginning, you know, to start with.
You know, just I think sometimes.
Therefore, I'm Mitch. Now the DCE has finally played well at Origin level, what demands will he place on the team for next year, Chip?
Maybe we could build him a high-speed rail network from his house to training.
Yep.
Something like that.
Could anyone else use it? Or just,
No. Just the DC Express.
One thing, he's never been on the field. Oh, I just get the feeling. And now that he's played his first successful rep game for Queensland, he's going to get a large head. And what I've already heard murmurs about on social media, Chip, is demands that Cherry Evans is going to be placing on next year's series. Mm. Now, there's already been a suggestion that he wants to play in a ground that's a bit swankier than Suncorp.
Okay.
So he's already suggested his front patio,
yep.
Which is obviously, it's more spacious.
It's a lot bigger, a lot more seats.
Exactly. It was more expensive to build. So these are the kind of, I guess, demands that Cherry Evans might be placing on the State of Origin series
I think he's just misunderstood the meaning of home game.
I think he's taken it literally.
I think he's a little bit too literal. And, you know, what really does concern me is the head swelling. That DC is likely to see come on.
See, the problem with that, Chip, is he already has a very long neck.
Potentially, it could just snap.
I think you're right, because I think it was actually the kind of neck designed for a chup-a-chup, like a very small head.
He's probably the only man that could actually cry on his own shoulder.
Although I don't think he's capable of tears, Cherry Evans. He doesn't have emotions like normal people.
That's true.
So he wouldn't need to cry on his own shoulder, but it's nice to know he has the option.
He has the option of doing some, and it's a bit like, you know, the reverse Todd Carney.
Now, he does love his upmarket clothes, DCE, Chip. Do you think he might want to play next year's series just in business suits? He might dispense with the whole maroon jersey concept.
Well, maybe we could get him a maroon suit.
Okay. And would he be the only guy wearing it, or would he allow...
Oh, definitely. He wouldn't be letting anyone else wear it. He might have a few fans in the... No, he wouldn't have any of those in the stadium.
No.
But yeah, maybe his own suit. I mean, definitely his own jersey. I mean, he's, you know, I'd like to see, you know, there's a captain's armband.
Right.
Maybe there could be a cunt faces jersey that he could wear.
The problem with that, Chip, is that DCE doesn't know he's a cunt face. Mm. So the joke, I mean, he would probably, you'd have to put that maybe on his back. So he couldn't see it.
Yep.
Now we're going to cross over to Xander.
Thanks, Eamon. I'm just down here on the sideline at the Manly Melbourne game, and the Manly Seagulls have just lost the game after DC has refused to play for the final 5 minutes. He's been demanding he be given a new contract with conditions such as a dedicated chauffeur to take him to and from games and to nightclubs.
When it comes to things he might demand next year, I think you make a good point. I got the feeling he might want to have embroidered symbols on the gear next year, potentially 24 carat. Is that going to blow the budget? Will they be able to afford enough players to be in the squad if Cherry Evans is there?
That's a tough question. you know, you go into treacherous ground there, Eamon. How do you afford a man like Cherry Evans? It's, you know, you need to put a few extra cherries on that cake. Maybe we could actually make this part of his contract that not going to pay you the cash, but what we will
do, he won't be involved then.
Get you some Armani suits in maroon.
Well, you might win him back.
Okay, we're going to do you some 24 carat jewelry that you can wear with your own name on it. I mean, do you think it's hard for Manly? I mean, they've put up with so much shit and they've really struggled for such a long time, not really wanting him to even play in the first grade team, and then he comes out for Queensland in game 3 and has a man of the match performance. I know it wasn't awarded to him.
Oh, it would leave a bad taste in the mouth. But it's in one sense they're relieved that you know, for a week he was away from their team that they love so dearly. It's nice to throw some distance in between your team and Cherry Evans, I would have thought, if I was a Manly fan. It strikes me, Chip, as a bit of a quandary next year that Queensland will face. Because with that inflated budget that you've already referenced to afford Cherry Evans to play for them, there may not be enough budget left for those other big rep players. So is there a chance the other 16 players in the squad will have to be filled by Cherry Evans' slaves?
Well, I don't know. I don't know if he'd be willing to put up 16 slaves. I mean, he's only got about 43, and they're usually busy digging their own caves to hide Thai children in.
They're putting in some good yards on the cotton farm, though.
Yeah, well, cotton doesn't pick itself. I mean, this is age-old wisdom. But I think maybe what we should do here is cross to Xander Rosotto down the sideline of Soden Sliders taking on the Carlton Bellyaches.
Thanks for that, Chip. I've just been given an update from NRL HQ. Apparently, Cherry Evans has had the playmaker role stripped from him at the Manly Seagulls. They're giving it to Billy Slater.
Wow, so Billy Slater really is scooping the pool of everything at the
He's
moment.
He's on a bit of a roll.
Yep. There's nothing Billy. He can't do.
Should he be running for politics? I know Pauline Hanson's looking for a new right-hand man.
Well, it would work well if instead of having free elections, you just let Mau Meninga choose who rules over your electorate. Then he could have probably a really successful political career.
The beauty there was you've gone from Mau Meninga, who was the most successful coach, arguably, in Queensland's recent history, at least.
You really minimised that achievement nicely. It started out so large.
Yeah.
And it became recent Queensland coach, which has just been him.
Yeah, yeah, basically. But he's won a lot of games. And you've sidled him up with Laurie Daly, who, let's be honest, what did he do? One series? Two series?
Yeah, he won a series.
He won a series.
Very unconvincing.
And lost one. And, you know, just to really fuck it over, they've put Lockyer in there as well. I mean, it doesn't strike me as the most impartial of judges
panels.
There.
No, I agree with you. Look, here's a little bit of a fly in the ointment for me when I was thinking about this. And obviously, you know, having two Queenslanders and one New South Welshman doesn't help the optics of fairness. But it also occurs to me that the only New South Wales representative was Laurie Daly, a man who potentially is pretty bitter about the recent success he never achieved at Origin level.
Mm.
Could Laurie Daly be the real driving force behind giving Billy Slater this ward wrongly? Maybe he's just really shitty at Freddie for finally coaching a team well.
I think there's an element of that. I think that would have played out with basically Mal and Lockyer watching the start of the game and saying, well, Billy's run out pretty well. He's going to play. Loz, we're going to give him the man of the match and the man of the series. And I think Laurie just was busy watching the World Cup. He's going, fuck, whatever.
Yep.
Don't really care.
I'm checking out.
There's no backstop there.
Yep.
He was asleep at the... At the not the wheel, because he wasn't driving anywhere, but he was more asleep in the boot.
Of the car. He wasn't driving.
Exactly.
Yeah, and makes total sense.
No stopgap there.
I guess for him, it would be really tough to watch. It'd be like watching your mum, you know, fuck a dog. Well, here's the thing. If your mum's fucking a dog, that's one thing. But to be sat down and made to watch it like a Clockwork Orange, that really heightens the tragedy. And I think for him, watching Origin this year, it was a lot like that.
Well, I think it's interesting that it was pointed out that the mother was actually fucking the dog, not the other way around.
No, she had agency.
You know, holding that dog. I mean, how did the dog feel about that? Is there any recourse for this animal? Were there any photos taken? Can we run a Mitchell?
Difficult for a poot. I would say it was non-consensual.
Mm.
So watching your mother rape a dog, basically?
Probably more aptly put, yeah. In the interests of Laurie Daly's family, I just didn't want to rub it in.
Yeah. Well, you've been very... Very careful with your words there.
Yeah.
Very tactful. You've danced around a difficult issue.
Welcome back to The Voluntary Tackle. Now, we mentioned this on the last show. David Barnhill had been overlooked for immortal status. We've tried hard on the show to get a bit of a push going on social media, trying to get some more awareness for David Barnhill. But I will say this, it's very difficult to start a social media campaign when you can't get David Barnhill himself involved in the campaign. He lacks a bit of self-belief. So today on the show, we want to know, what other things can we do to get David Barnhill to believe in himself?
Oh, look, maybe we need to get Mel Meninga and Darren Lockyer behind this cause.
And just what? Just select themselves?
Just select him.
That's a brilliant idea.
Just give it to him.
Problem is, though, he's from New South Wales. And they have never selected someone from New South Wales in their lives
accolade. Look, if state pride's not, maybe we could just pay them.
Okay.
They're probably open to bribery, yep. I would think.
Just do a FIFA and just buy the award.
Yep.
But would that be a bit of a hollow victory for Barnhill? Because we think he's earned that genuinely, don't we?
You know, maybe two wrongs don't make a right, but two wrongs are probably in the Chinese phone book.
Well, I think it certainly furnishes the point to add in a racist reference. To be honest, he's from Wagga, so he's probably going to respond to that positively. It's just a weird one when you can't get the buy-in of the man himself. Is there a chance that if we fail, and I don't want to say we're going to fail, I'm going to say we're going to get him in because we're doers on this show. But do we have a contingency plan? If we can't make David Barnhill an immortal, is there a chance we can give him a second prize?
Okay, like a runner-up.
Yeah, a runner-up prize, exactly. What could that be?
Well, maybe you could be long-lived award.
Okay.
Not quite immortal.
Yep. Just surviving.
Just longer than your average lifetime.
But will he make it that far?
Maybe what we need to do here is think a little bit outside the box at the Voluntary Tackle. We are a team of ideas, men.
I think so. One of these days we'll actually have a good one too. I'm convinced.
If we could get Blake Ferguson to hang out with Barnhill a little bit, try and find some kind of contagious form of cancer to really get David Barnhill's weight down. We might be able to start him in the under-13s girls team because we're not doing it by age. We're doing it now by weight, as you'll know. We can get the weight down. Maybe that experience that he has in the footballing realm might just get him over the line against some underweight girls of the 13 age bracket.
So just so I can summarise your idea here, Chip, because I don't want to get you wrong. You want David Barnhill to undergo some collective chemotherapy with Blake Ferguson so he can get his weight down to he's basically stick thin, like Swayze in his final days, so that he can play under-11s girls rugby league.
13s.
13. Yeah. The details matter.
Yeah.
Now, what would he benefit out of playing in a near-death state?
Well, look, he'd probably get more of a mention.
He'd probably get some...
I don't know whether he'd get accolades. He might get AIDS, but he'd get some kind of mention.
He would probably rack up those Man of the Match awards.
Well, he'd probably be the only... I mean, is there a woman of the match?
Well, if it's a girls' team, I assume so.
Well, he'd get the Man of the Match then.
Because he's the only man
there.
He's
the man.
Although by that stage he's had so much chemo, maybe his cock had dropped off. Welcome back to the Voluntary Tackle. Being the digital boffins that we are, we're often dabbling in the world of social media. Now, we've often put stuff on the Google. We've grammed things on the Insta-vine.
Insta-vine? Yep. Are we on the line currently?
Yeah, we've been on the line. We've been outlined on...
Okay. On the line.
Well, exporting downloads.
Yep.
And we've got lots of things on Twitter.
Okay.
They call it Twittering.
Twittering, okay. Have we booked in with FaceTime?
We've not FaceTimed yet.
Okay.
No, we're not that. We're working on it. But we've put a few polls to our listeners, Chip. And look, there's important matters that we need to get to the bottom of. And one of them is one we've already discussed, but we want to know what the people thought. And that was about Blake Ferguson signing with the Parramatta Eels. Now, we put it to the people. We gave them four options. The options were there were more Baldies at Parramatta. The second option was he senses a premiership. Third option, an administration error. And the fourth option is that he was infatuated with Clint Gutherson. Now, it was
Can
a very
I just jump in here from first thoughts.
Mm.
I would think that more Baldies it would have rated well. I don't think your B option would have been too strong. There's no premierships likely at Parramatta. Clint Gutherson maybe got a showing. What was your C option again?
Administration error.
Administration error. Yeah, I couldn't pull that one up for some reason. I'm fascinated here. How many votes did we get, and which way did this go?
It was a very tight poll, Chip. 35% for more Baldies at Parramatta, and 35% also for Blake being infatuated with Gutho.
Are we going to have to go for a tiebreaker?
I think we are.
Or a knee breaker.
Is there a qualifying question we can give to our listeners?
Maybe someone's told him that there's more likelihood of growing hair in Parramatta. I mean, it is hair on your hands rather than your head, but I'm not sure.
Because of the drinking water, isn't it?
Yeah, pretty much.
They've got that weird chemical in it. Puts lots of balls on your shoulders and hairs on your balls and nipples on your groin.
Yeah. Nipples everywhere.
Island of Dr. Moreau stuff, isn't it? But look, we also wanted to get to the bottom of, you know, what we would do had the New South Wales Blues won the Game 3 for a blue rinse.
Yep.
Unfortunately, obviously, that did not happen. But we put this poll out before then. They had the options of either claiming Suncorp Stadium, taking the Wally Lewis statue, taking Wally Lewis, or deporting Cameron Smith. Now, we had an overwhelming winner here of 52%.
Deport Cameron Smith.
Obviously. Yep. So we'll try and make that happen. We don't know what legislative powers we need to enact to make that happen. But
oh, look, it probably cost a couple of grand. I know a few people.
You mix around with odd circles, don't you?
Well, I mix in wide orbits.
Okay, that's a nice PR spin for criminality. Now, you'll love this one, Chip, because I know you've already alluded to it, but we also put a poll out there before Game 3 of Origin to see who would be man of the match. Now, I selected Jake Trbojevic. Xander selected...
Thanks, guys. I picked David Clemmer because, I thought it'd be funny.
It wasn't really funny. No, how many votes did we get for Xander's David Clemmer?
0%.
It's pretty funny.
Now, Chip, you put forward Billy Slater, and there was a fourth option, which was Chip's a traitorous fuck for choosing a Queensland option. Do you have any comments on that last poll?
Look, it wasn't easy being right.
You mean being a traitorous fuck?
I've found that you know, being right gets easier the more often you do it. So
it must be tough being a Benedict Arnold type character.
I'm starting to really get a taste for it. But he was always going to win that award. Man of the series, I didn't even see that coming. I don't think Billy saw that coming. I mean, he was embarrassed to receive the award. Chip is a traitor as fuck.
You can't bet on that. I tried on Sportsbet. Welcome back to the Voluntary Tackle. It's time for Multi Madness. It is that time of the week where we shamelessly leverage off a social problem. And I think next week it's not gambling anymore, it's domestic violence, which will be an interesting chapter of the Voluntary Tackle.
It's been tough to promote.
Yeah, people don't take it kindly, especially the images and posters we've got up. What we should do is do a bit of a roundup of how we went last week. For the record, I won $0, Xander won $0, and Chip won $0. So it's a close match.
Yeah, I really didn't feel like it was the right time to pull ahead. I did make plenty of money on Cordner Man of the Match Game 2 and Slater Man of the Match Game 3.
They're not multis, mate. If you multied those, I'd probably be asking you for money right now.
That's why I didn't tell you that I backed them. Look, this week I am going to go for the three games left on Sunday. We put out... I'm going to sneeze.
You should have sneezed into that sock. I wonder what your sneeze would it marry well with the jizz.
I'll be back in a second.
It just must be a serious sneeze. You're having to leave the studio.
Leave the studio. Do your multis. I'll be back.
Well, we can't really do the segment without you. Well, let's cross to you, Xander. You're at Henley Oval watching kids play on play equipment. What's your multi?
Thanks, Eamon. I have to stand by a law at least 200 metres away from the playground, but I'm here nonetheless. I've decided that my multi will be the three final games of the round, the Brisbane Broncos to beat the Auckland Warriors, and George Illawarra to beat West Tigers, and the Roosters to beat the Gold Coast.
And what is that paying, Xander?
I have no fucking idea.
Can you look it up quickly? And stay away from those children.
Combined total is $3.44.
Thank you for that, Xander, and stay away from those kids, particularly the girl with the ice cream. Chip, what's your multi this week?
Well, look, I'm going to go out on a bit of a limb here, and I am going to pick Sean O'Sullivan to get some game time, number one.
Is that a betting option?
No. But after that betting option, I'm going to tip him to score some points.
Okay.
In the game versus the Titans. So I'm going to go Sean O'Sullivan to score a try, and I'm going to go the Roosters to beat the Titans. So I'm going to keep it at a two-leg multi.
Okay, and what's that paying?
I'll have to actually ring the bookies and get them to make me up some odds for Sean O'Sullivan.
A million to one.
I'll go with that, and I'll have $3 on it.
Okay, because it's so outlandish, and I don't think Sean O'Sullivan has been offered as a betting option, we'll just give you $1,000 to one.
Just give me the $1,000.
I'll offer you. I'll be your bookie.
Yeah, just give me $1,000.
$1,000. All right. Just $1,000 to one. Sean O'Sullivan, first try scorer. No.
Now.
For the record, I'm going a little bit more conservative this time around, and I'm going a three-leg multi. Sorry, no, I'm only going to go two-leg multi. Brisbane to win by 1-12, and Dragons to win by 1-12, paying $9.60. So hopefully, Chip, we'll get off the mark this week.
Well, let's hope we can get something in the bank.
It would be very nice.
At least one of us.
Because rarely do we get information or comedy in the bank, so it'd be nice to get some cash.
We've actually been struggling a bit.
We've been struggling a lot, but I blame the cold. The listeners don't know this, but we're recording essentially what is a giant
fridge.
Freezer, isn't it?
Or a freezer.
Yeah.
Fridge.
Because there's a lot of frozen peas around. A lot of McCain's goods, I've noticed. This is your place, Chip, so... Yeah.
Don't look behind those McCain's peas. That's okay. Where I keep some of my bodies.
I'm okay with that. I thought you were going to mean drugs, and I couldn't be involved.
No,
but if it's only
I'm not
bodies...
not telling you where those are.
No. Well, that brings us to the end of the show. Is there anything we haven't covered off?
Well, one thing that that we haven't covered off is it was nearly a fatal week this week for Chip. I don't know whether you know this, but we put out to our loyal listeners that we would be running a podcast on Friday night, and someone had come across in a private message to me on Twitter, actually, saying, really looking forward to you guys doing a show this Friday. And I said, look, if we actually end up doing a show on Friday, I'll eat my hat.
Wow, okay.
Problem was, I'd watched a bit of Peaky Blinders, and... I'd sewn some razors into my cap, being a man of my word. I was worried that might be fatal. And
did you follow through with it?
2 hours before we were due to do the podcast. Thankfully, Eamon, you've come through and cancelled the recording of the podcast.
But it'd be remiss of us, Chip, not to cross to Xander one last time, provided he hasn't been arrested for some public act.
Which game are we crossing to? Is this the Manly Pedos versus the Child Satanic Hillaries?
I think it is, mate. It's a classic local derby out there. Xander, any last thoughts on the show?
You'll never take me alive, guys. You'll never take me alive.
Well, that's just disturbing. Brings us to the end of the show, Chip. But until next time, just do what the death guy in Australian Ninja Warrior would do and complete the course only to find out you were disqualified 3 minutes earlier because you failed to hear the siren. Goodbye.
The only I sound like that, and only I jizz like that. So when I talk through my own jizz...
Those Saturday nights must just fly by, mate.